Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Who Inspire. I'm Cynthia Pooler, and my guest today is Deborah Evans, right, Deb?
Yep, that's it.
And we're going to talk about taking pride in your child. And this is Pride Month. So, for all the parents out there, maybe for all the, you know, young adults out there, you know, tell us your feelings.
It's funny, right? I keep getting told, or I'm told often anyway, particularly by youth and people who are in the community, that I'm a special mom because I accept my kids for everything about them and being part of the community. And I'm not special, right? I'm just a mom. It's what parents are supposed to do, right? We're supposed to love our kids for who they are. So to all the people in the community, you are loved, right? And that's, you're supposed to be loved for who you are.
Now, is there still a lot of people, whether they're young or old, who are still apprehensive on coming out?
I can't speak for every person in the community, but I think that that's true. I think my experience is that youth or young people are not as apprehensive about coming out as certainly as people used to be. Mm-hmm. And one of the issues I know from having spoken to people who work in the community, for young people, they're very comfortable coming out to each other, or in most areas of the country, they're very comfortable with each other. And they talk about it a lot more often, and they talk about it amongst themselves. And then issues tend to arise when they come out at home, where sometimes parents aren't as open to them coming out as the kids would hope they would be, right? Parents maybe haven't moved along as quickly as, youth peer groups have. So there's still a disconnect there.
What was your first reaction when you realized that your child was not totally straight?
So I had no idea, and that's kind of funny. My child had gone away to camp. They had gone away. They have to go to a Unitarian camp, and Unitarians, by and large, it's a very accepting church group, and they've gone to camp, and it had been a conversation that they had talked about, right? It's something kids actually start talking about, their sexuality and their gender expression pretty young. Like, they start having those conversations and those thoughts at a young age, and having a place where you can feel open and comfortable talking about it. Now, research has shown that the younger you can talk about it and the more accepting an environment you can find to talk about it, like, the healthier and safer your kids are, right? The less likely they are to be suicidal over it, the more well adjusted they are. So, it's a good thing, right, to have a space where they can feel comfortable talking about it. So I honestly, if I think back, I believe my child was 11, came home from camp and said, "Hey, Mom, I think I'm pansexual." And I went, "What?" And I'm like, "Well, where did you even hear that word?" Because frankly, I'm a fairly open, even then, a pretty open person, but I had never actually heard the term pansexual. So then I'm saying, "Okay." And Googling, what is pansexual, and asking my child, what does that mean? What do you think that means? And looking at Google, and what does Google say it means? And trying to figure out the two. And my kid calmly says, "Well, that means, you love people just for who they are. You don't love someone, you don't it means you don't love just a boy or a girl. It doesn't mean you're gay or bisexual or whatever. You just love a human, another human, for who the human is, and you don't care about their gender. And, you know, it was frankly a pretty sophisticated level of, in my opinion, a pretty sophisticated level of sexuality for certainly someone who was so young. And I was frankly pretty taken aback at the time, but, you know, kind of sat with it. I was also, to be perfectly honest, a little taken aback that this had been such an open discussion with my child at that age by adults in the room. But in retrospect, I'm really glad that they were able to have that conversation with caring adults who could have this open conversation with them and give them good information and all of that. So that was my first experience.
At what age does a person realize that they're not conforming to the norms of society? Usually, is it before they're like 10 years old, over 10? What do you think?
I really can't speak to that as a wider conversation. That's really like for gender and sexuality experts. But the stories I've been told is that it happens for most people. They kind of seem to know at a fairly young age that something's a little different, that, you know, it's not something, you know, it's not something that you just kind of discover later in life, per se. It's usually something that you kind of know younger. And if you're, as a parent, if you're comfortable with your child and you let your child be comfortable with who they are and not try to fit them into a box and say, okay, you are a girl, you must like boys, and you are a boy, you must like girls, that, you know, you just kind of let your kid grow and let them figure themselves out, that they kind of find their own way kind of naturally. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So how old is your child now?
My child is almost 19.
Okay. So out of high school?
Yep, my child is in college.
Great. Living home or away?
My child is looking to go back away to school, had to come home, was away, had to come home for COVID like most kids, but is going back to school is going back in the fall.
Okay. So over the years, your way of thinking has, you know, kind of changed. What's it like? And I'm sure there's millions of parents out there who are, you know, experiencing what you've experienced, and there's a lot of people who are not so knowledgeable. What's it like for your child to grow up and deal with society? How has your outlook changed?
So it's been a journey. Like, it's a journey for my child to go through figuring themselves out. My child is not only not straight, my child is also genderqueer. They identify in the trans community. They use the pronoun they, them. So that's also been a transition. And they also don't strongly identify male or female. So that's also been a shift. So it's been kind of a lot, right? I think it's a challenge in a lot of ways. Like I always have accepted my child, but there's things that are, it's a journey, right? And it's, there's friction because the person, you know, the individual, your child, goes through their own journey inside, right? But sometimes they go through that journey kind of privately, and then they tell you where they're at, and then you have to go through your own journey, right? And they're kids, right? So kids are kind of impatient, right? They've gone through the journey, and now they're done, and, well, how come you aren't ready to be exactly where they're at, right? And it's, they're impatient for you to be at the same place in the journey that they are, right? It's not really any different than kids ever are, right? But it's about something that is so visceral to their being, right? And it's that it's challenging for them. And there's things that become hard, like language. Language is the hardest part, I think. There's, you know, language and this change in, like, how do you parent? Like, and for me, the hardest part in this is, maybe if my child was fully trans, like if I left my biological daughter to a son, that would be a little easier. But this piece where we're not, where they, them, and we're fluid, okay, now language gets really, really challenging, right? So what do you do? You know, how do you, like, words matter, and there's no, you know, they're getting around those words and changing your language and creating, like, what does that mean now, and using the words properly and getting that meaning right makes a huge difference. And it takes time to get all of that in line, and, you know, they're impatient and they hear words, and you want to make sure you get the words right all the time, and what you see with your eyes doesn't always match what they feel about who they are and what you accept them to be for who they are. So it's just, it takes time. It takes a lot of grace, I guess, on your part as a parent, to be able to take a step back and get, okay, this is a big deal, and respect for that, you know, that, in honoring your kid, that you're trusting that this is true to them, right?
When I go to the Gay Pride celebration here in Albany, I kind of think back years ago when people were afraid to express their own identity. So from your perspective, have you thought a lot about that, when years ago people could not express who they really were compared to now? Where there's not so much barriers and stuff.
Oh, I watch the Pride Parade and I cry every time. I mean, the youth lead the Pride Parade. They've done it for years. I stand in the front and it makes me cry to watch them. They're just beautiful. You know, my kid has a set of, like, rainbow pride wings. They've had them for, oh, God, 7 or 8 years. They've worn them for the pride parades for eons, right? And they wear them literally with pride to march. And they go out there and they carry the flag and the kids shout and cry, you know, and they're there. And it's an amazing thing, you know, to watch kids be out and proud, and for the most part they are, and they're safer in their environment than I think most people were certainly, I mean, I'm in my 50s, right? Certainly than most people were in my, my generation. And in most areas of the country, I mean, we're also fortunate here. A group of my kids' friends came with us here from Binghamton to come to our Pride Parade. Now, Binghamton's actually quite accepting. They have a really lovely small Pride, you know, Pride celebration that is, it is very vibrant, but it's small. They came and they were just blown away at the size of our Pride Parade, you know, so that was huge too, to have them be able to see the size of our community here. So that was fantastic for them. But, yeah, this feeling of being able to be out and to know that that's something that is great for them. But it's not always like that. I don't know if you know, but I was one of the parents, or actually I was the only parent who spoke up when Shenandoah had the big argument about bathrooms for trans students about 6 years ago. Do you remember that?
No, I don't.
Title IX passed and said that you had to allow transgender students to use the bathroom of their gender expression. And Shenandoah had a big movement that they were going to allow this. And they had a board meeting that was attended by hundreds of people. And there were literally hundreds of people in line opposing it, and myself and two students and one advocate spoke up in favor of it, but I was the only parent to speak, the only district parent to speak for it, and honestly, it was truly the only time I ever really got how frightening it was to be maybe in their shoes, right? And I got how much opposition there still is. I mean, that was a very angry room about people being expressed as transgender, and there's a long way to go. You know, as far as we've come, there's a long way to go.
Okay, there is a long way to go, and are there support groups for people who might need the support of other people to comprehend everything that's going on?
Yeah, there are. I mean, Pride is the one that comes to mind first for people, but in our area, In Our Own Voices does a remarkably good job of helping trans youth. They have a lot of programs. That's right on Lark Street. And in fact, actually, the Black Lives Matter sign is on the street, on Lark Street, is right in front of their location. But it,
right.
In Our Own Voices, IOOV.org. And they have the added benefit of being very, very supportive of Black and Latino, gay and trans people, and particularly youth, and it is frankly more difficult for people in those communities, so they tend to need a bit more support. So that particular organization is absolutely fantastic in our area. So that group is great. And young people have GLSEN. GLSEN is a good group that supports youth in schools.
This is in Albany, New York, for people who are listening. So, you know, New York is considered a pretty open-minded state. Maybe New York City might be a little more open-minded than maybe some places upstate, but I'm sure there's places in Midwest, maybe the South, or
there should be pride centers across the country. Yeah.
that aren't as accepting as maybe somebody from New York. So do you think there's still a lot of stress and not well-being that's still going on that has to be addressed?
Oh, yes, 100%. I mean, it's definitely an issue. The trans community has been, in particular, has been targeted. I mean, obviously, they just decided, the Health and Human Services just decided that they are not afforded any protections under Health and Human Services. You have to be treated by the gender you were, you know, the gender you were assigned at birth, not the gender of your gender that you you declare yourself to be. So that's clearly, as a nation, we have an issue with this. So there's problems across the country. There's, I mean, people of color, trans people of color, particularly trans women of color, have been physically attacked. Quite a few instances of that, attacked and frankly murdered. So that's a real issue. The Pride Center, I mean, you could find Pride Centers that will support you. That's helpful across the country. I know they are working on those things. Black Lives Matter actually is supporting particularly trans women. So that is something they really want to help the marginalized peoples. But yeah, I mean, we're lucky here in the Northeast. It's pretty fairly accepted, but it's not across the country. I mean, even being queer, if you're not straight and, you know, gender conforming, in many parts of the country, you're ostracized. It's an issue.
Mm-hmm. So, you're savvy with the internet and social media. There might not be groups in other parts of the country that parents or relatives or friends can have a support group, a physical support group where they could go and talk. Is there anything online that a person can go and join and gain strength from other people?
Oh, if you search, there are tons of groups. As parents, there's groups you can find. There's PFLAG, PFLAG, which is for parents. You can find groups through PFLAG. You can just search for parents of queer children. You can find groups about that if you're, and honestly, queer and gender nonconforming youth can find people. They are very, very good. Most kids are very, very good at finding groups of people that they can find support in. It's the rare youth that can't find a support group. There are people, there are multiple people on Instagram that they can follow that are helpful. I can give you some names afterwards. I'm sorry, I'm blanking off the top of my head right now. But there are multiple groups. I mean, you can go through Pride to find some, and you can go through GLSEN, GLSEN.org has groups, but those are more like sanctioned groups. But there are multiple groups on, Facebook is more for parents. I mean, the kids don't use Facebook very much at all, but there's groups through Snapchat, through Instagram, through Reddit that are fairly easy to connect up with for youth. The youth seem to be able to find groups to talk to fairly easily. It's parents who have a harder time.
Okay, so we just have a couple of minutes left, Deb. So in the last few minutes, basically like a minute, can you share your thoughts on the evolution of everything you've experienced?
I guess my most important thing to leave people with, I mean, just because your child is not straight and gender conforming, there's not a thing wrong with your kid. You just love your kid. They are who they are. They're beautiful. They're loving. They're wonderful. There's nothing wrong with your child. There's nothing to say they won't. They'll have a wonderful, fantastic, terrific life. You didn't do anything wrong. Your kids didn't do anything wrong. And the best thing you can do for them is just love them for who they are and accept them for who they are. And then you'll all have a happier, more loving, more fulfilling life. Both you as a parent and absolutely your child will have a more fulfilling life if you can do that. And it's probably the best gift you can give them as a parent is to just accept them for who they are.
And that would solve a lot of societal ills, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. So you have been listening to Deb Evans, and this is Women Who Inspire. And if you like this show, like us on Facebook. We're always looking for more people to join our group and share aspirations and goodwill towards one another. And on Facebook and on Twitter, it's Women Inspire 21. Thank you, Deb, for taking the time to be on Women Who Inspire. And thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you, Cynthia.